This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are, where is Larry Page? The Big Apple reveal, we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about cord cutters bundling, and if that's the way to go, if you want some actual TV that you gave up when you cut the cord. We're going to talk about teenagers and their apps and sites they love. We're going to talk about a conspiracy that's brewing on the International Space Station, plus a lot more. I want to welcome you to episode 1312 of the Geek News Center podcast for Thursday, September 13th. And it feels like Friday the 13th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. You can support this show at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Of course, I want to welcome all of our new listeners, anyone that's brand new to the show. Thanks for being here. Those of you that are watching live on Facebook, live stream, or on YouTube, thanks for being here. Make sure you say hello in the chat room. But for those of you that are brand new to the show, it's real easy to get connected with entire Ohana here. All you got to do is go over to GeekNewsCentral.com. When you're on the website, I want you to subscribe to the show right there on the right-hand column of the website. Whatever your pleasure is on mobile device, whether it be Apple, Android, you like Spotify as an app, that's cool. Stitcher, doesn't matter. We've got a place for you to listen to the show. That's the most important thing to do. Also, subscribe to the newsletter while you're there. That'll get you seriously connected with us. That way you'll get everything that's happening here. Well, you'll get the, basically the show notes delivered to your inbox. Of course, you can watch the show on the Apple TV. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to get your device's attention and tell it to play the podcast Geek News Central. This show is live every Monday and Thursday night when I'm in Hawaii at around, usually around 8 p.m. Hawaiian. Tonight it's 7 p.m. Hawaiian. But we're live at live.geeknewscentral.com. You can come over here and hang out in the chat room, or you can just chit chat on Facebook. That's cool as well. No problem wherever you want to hang out. Of course, we got a chat room too. The chat room's a cool place to hang out at geeknews.chat. That's our Mastodon chat server. And if you want to be a nerd, this is the place to be a nerd. You can nerd out here. So come on over to our Mastodon chat server and join the party. Geeknews.chat is a place to do that. Of course, you can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, of course, on Twitter as well at Geek News. That's really the way to stay connected with the show here. You can follow me on Facebook. Our partner shows, which you can find at geeknewscenter.com, which are linked on the website, is a Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site being written by my great writing team. The New Media Show at newmediashow.com, and Podcast Legends. Those are all partner shows at Geek News Central. Definitely check them out. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And most importantly, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And I tell you, GoDaddy's been here supporting the show. I hope that you will too. Again, all you got to do is to get over to that website, get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you're going to get access to all of my deals, all my promo codes, 30% off on product purchases. That's a huge deal. That one does not exist anywhere else. You may find some of these other deals, but the 30% off new product purchases is a big one. And it's by a promo code CJCGeek30. You can get a $0.99 for brand new customers. But better yet, you can get $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain, either in just standard economy hosting or managed WordPress. Again, you get a free domain with either of these offers. For $12, you get running. You're up and going. You got a site going. I tell you, you just cannot beat this deal. And for those of you that are business owners, and if you have absolutely no web skills whatsoever, they've got thousands of pre-made templates, and you can get a month of free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, and business plus plans. Check those out. Again, all my promo codes are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Your support is essential to help this show continue, keep the lights on, keep the family fed, keep the insurance up to date, all that stuff. And if you can't support by picking up a domain product or picking up a hosting account, you can very simply tell your friends, family members, people that you know about my page, about this code, link to it in your social media. Look, link to it from your blog if you have one. It helps us here a great, great deal. And of course, don't forget about becoming an insider as well. But anyway, that's it. That's how we do it here. And we, of course, I want you to take care of the sponsor if you so feel I deserve it. All right. So let me go ahead and just run you guys, catch you guys up real quick. On the last show, I must apologize. I knew it was the 10th. I knew the 11th was happening the next day. I had thought about the 9/11 anniversary. And I got done doing the show and I was like kicking myself because I should have talked about it, because the show, most of you listened on the 9/11 remembrance. But I just wanted to make a note of it here today that I was definitely thinking about it, thinking about where I was at on 9/11 and what followed. I made a comment on Facebook, and someone had made a comment about where they were, and I had basically followed up and said, yeah, 4 days later, I was on an airplane off to kill bad guys. And it kind of got a weird response, but most, maybe some of the folks that are new in the show don't know that I'm retired military. And, so yeah, that, you know, if you don't know that, I am. And started doing this show actually before I retired. So I think I was doing the show for I retired in 2007, started the show in 2004. So, yeah, 9/11 is a big deal for me. So, lots of memories there, lots of stuff probably will never be able to talk about, but it definitely, for a lot of people were affected, and some obviously more than others, and the sacrifice that they made post 9/11. And of course the victims that died on 9/11, you know, very, very sad. And if you get a chance and you get into New York City, go to the 9/11 memorial and go to the museum and go into the bowels of the towers and experience it all over again. It is, I will say, for my generation and for me, it's probably evoked the same type of emotions that my grandfather had when he came back to Hawaii and visited the USS Arizona Memorial. Now, even when I go to the Arizona today, it is a very solemn place, hallowed ground. And the same thing with the 9/11 Museum. It is incredible. Couldn't be farther apart, you know, in distance. The Arizona Memorial and the 9/11 Remembrance, it is definitely something you have to see if you get into New York City, get into Manhattan, get tickets in advance, go. Please, please, please go. Make it a point to, it's going to take you half a day at least to get through it. So please do so. Of course, our hearts go out to those that are getting impacted by Hurricane Florence. Matter of fact, it is full fury right now on the East Coast for those affected in North Carolina, South Carolina, and up into Virginia. And then, of course, we're going to see torrential rain for a lot of those folks for a number of days, and many of you are without power. So I'm definitely thinking about you at this moment as well, and hope that you've come out okay and safe. We did have a tropical storm here. We got a couple inches in Oahu. In my area, it wasn't as much. They did have some flooding on the other side, but Maui, whew, I saw some videos, impressive amount of water. So there, we had a dam here on Maui that was under threat of overflowing, going over. And here we don't have like these, our dams here are a little different. They're not super fancy. They don't have like big spillways and gateways and that type of stuff. But they even had the fire department out there trying to pump it down a little bit, which I thought was kind of weird. But that threat has passed. So, and just, you know, a little bit of cleanup and that's it. My koi pond pump is in. I was not at the house and couldn't sign for it today, so I had it delivered. Weird thing, FedEx is making pickup points Walgreens of all places. I never knew Walgreens was an alternate pickup place for FedEx, but it is. It's just a little bizarre for me. I didn't know that was they were partners, but that's when I selected to have it alternative delivered to somewhere else. That's where they gave me an option. So anyway, that's that. Hey, I want to talk just a little bit. This morning, my car's got major issues. I had a head gasket replaced, not a head gasket, a oil cover gasket or head gasket. I guess that's what you want to call it. Replaced, some other work done on it. Serpentine belt. It's got 204,000 miles on it. So you know, it has to have some work. And then this morning I had to take it in, needed an oil change. And the guy came in like 15 minutes after. And they said, hey, you need to come out and look. And I mean, I had a new major oil leak. I mean, big time Charlie Brown oil. I'm like, what is the deal with oil leaks? This thing hasn't leaked oil ever. And I changed. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's replaced in that gasket, raised the engine pressure, caused oil. Who knows? But it's really, I drove it home and I kept smelling the oil. I'm like, oh man, this is bad, because they didn't have the gasket. So I had to park it. And I've called Enterprise. I've got a car. I'm going to pick a car up tomorrow. And the gasket, that's the thing about Hawaii. You want parts, 4 or 5 days to get parts. So I rented a car. I'm not going to drive it because, you know, I got oil smell and I don't need to burn the car up on the freeway. That wouldn't be cool. So I'm just, you know, safety wise, I'll just drive a rental car for a couple of days. But as I sat in Midas today for about, I was about there about 3 hours. And I don't like to get political on this show, but let me just tell you, they had CBS turned on. I haven't watched mainstream news in a long time. I mean, really a long time. And I was sickened. I told a lady sitting beside me, I said, if people watch this stuff, they're going to have a mental breakdown. I said, This stuff is toxic. And I said, I don't care what your politics are. If you're right, left, it doesn't matter. It's just the coverage on, and I don't know, is it that way on all these channels? It was just toxic. I mean, absolutely vileness. And I'm thinking, all these people have to, and I've said this in the show before, all these news people, they must have shrinks. There's absolutely no way, no way I could do that job and sit there and spout this stuff that's coming out of their mouths for hours and hours. It was shocking, to be honest with you. And I'm not easily shocked, but this morning and being exposed to this for about 3 hours, I'm like, I'm just going to make a prediction. And this is horrible, but these people that are putting this content out, there's going to be fallout from this. These people are going to have strokes. They're going to commit suicide. This cannot continue. And I don't know how they can go home and deal with themselves at the end of the day. I'm serious. I don't get it. I really don't. And again, it's, every channel has their own agenda. It's not news anymore. It's entertainment and being as explosive and whatever as you can. The days of real news is gone across the entire marketplace. And being that I listen to a lot of podcasts and mostly non-political podcasts, and the ones that I do that do have a little bit of a political take, or at least really looking at what's going on in the rest of the world and not just home. So I think what we're what I feel is that podcasts are like this refuge, a refuge away from this vileness that's on a TV today. Now, maybe you guys don't agree with me. And if you do, I'd love to hear from you. Or have you cut the amount of television out? Many of you have cut the cord and you don't have to watch it. I was kind of a captive audience and the place was freezing in there. And I kept getting up and going outside and it just come back in and this TV blaring. It made me in a very aggressive, bad mood for the rest of the day. It really did. I walked out of there. I was just like, and it's not necessary that the commentary was such that I disagreed with some of the stuff they were saying, but just the way it was coming across. So I don't know, doing this podcast and deep and working with content creators. And what do you guys think? Are you guys finding yourself listening to more podcasts now because of this? And I guess I used the word caca. And that's for, you know, doo-doo. Are you guys listening to more podcasts to escape some of this stuff? I'd really love your 5 cents worth. And again, I don't want it to be political, but it's just the, it set me off. So I'll get off my soapbox here. And I've talked about this a number of times, but I rarely get a reaction. So what's the deal? Do you agree or do you disagree? I want to hear from you. Am I off my rocker? Or do you agree or do you disagree? Please respond. All right, let's get into the content. No one's watching. Where'd all the Facebook people go? Okay. Where in the world is Larry Page? There's a pretty big hit piece on Bloomberg. And they don't come out and saying that there is something. They don't really come out and say he's being a recluse. Is that the right way to say that? But he is definitely kind of really laying low. You know, 2 decades ago, two decades after he co-founded Google, you know, the company is entering a perilous phase. And some of the news that came out today, I want to talk a little bit about that in a second. You know, their revenue continues to boom, but, you know, luckily Facebook has took most of the body shots here recently. But definitely, Larry Page he's just like off the map, right? And of course, he was a no-show in Washington, D.C. And there's a little bit of rumblings, according to this article, talking about where he may be or where he isn't. What is he doing and what's he's working on? And, you know, the guy hasn't been involved in a earnings call since 2013. Now, I'll be the first to admit, if he's worked as hard as everyone says he has, putting in 80-hour days and, you know, putting in or 80-hour weeks and, you know, working in that high stress environment, at some point you just kind of have to breathe a little bit, right? And he's got enough money. He can, he can really breathe. You know, he's got his own private Caribbean island, the whole nine yards. And, you know, I think I would be a little bit kicked back too. I don't think And I think that it's okay, in my opinion. But is it time for Larry Page to officially retire? Because he's kind of been off the radar map. I don't know. According to this article, people who know him says he's disappearing more frequently to his private white sand Caribbean island. That's not to imply that at 45, he's already living the daiquiri lifestyle. He still oversees the Alphabet subsidiary through the extent of his involvement is vague. Along with Google co-founder Sergey Brin, who is now Alphabet's president. Apparently, Page even occasionally hosts court at the company's weekly all-hands TGIF, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. But he's definitely not as engaged. So Bloomberg is raising this as a big concern. And I'm of the opinion he can do what the heck he wants, right? If he's got enough good people at the top running the company and he can just, manage at the top and do pet projects that he wants, then it's cool. When you have a CEO like Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg, they're out there in the face of the companies, that's their personalities. Larry Page has always been kind of this, he's an engineer at heart. So even if he is in semi-retirement, I say leave him alone. That's what you got new lieutenants for, but maybe it's time to come off the masthead a little bit. I don't know. And let some other Google leadership step up. It's kind of I understand that they want to talk to the man and it's of course be one of the co-founders. It's important, but like I said, Google's 20 years old. It's big. Navy's running Alphabet. He's running Alphabet, but, they didn't win any favors, but not having a top person, top one or two people from the company, at the Senate hearing. So I think this is a large part of where this is coming from. But I think he's earned his dues. He can do whatever he wants. At the same time, when even The Verge picks this up, and this is not a some news channel's story, they took a pretty big hit this week. Google did with a leak of a video that. Basically was recorded post-election, post-2016 presidential election. And politics in businesses is a little bit weird. My company, even though I'm here in Hawaii, I have a pretty good heartbeat on the entire team. And I can pretty much guess each team member's politics. It is something that I think any place that you work on people, if you have a team that you work with, you at some point start to fully understand a team's politics, and that's okay. It's who we are, and it's, based upon our what we grew up and our exposure and everything else. But at the same time, we don't really discuss politics. We talk about social issues. I've got a team member on that is currently at a 3 days at a 100% women's conference. And I'm glad she's there. I'm glad that she's there representing and putting input in and sharing her version of our our philosophy, but with her own words. And we've been a very, progressive shop, I guess it is, in trying to be as diverse as possible with who we hire and empowering those team members to take on more challenges. So politics is what it is, but I don't think I've ever had a team meeting ever where we discussed anything political. We've talked about health benefits. We've talked about 401k plans, changes to the employee manual, looking for inputs on a variety of different things, giving them, buy-in. But I don't think I've ever told my employees based upon the results of an election, things are going to be worse or things are going to be better. We've never had that sort of a discussion. And yet, apparently at this Google TGIF, it was a significant topic. And the leadership was talking politics. So, to me, I just don't, it's a big company, different culture, obviously. So I don't fully understand the why you would do that, to be honest with you. I really don't. And I guess, did that happen at your guys' work? Did the boss come out and have a all hands and said, because of this election results, brimstone and fire, or, did that type of conversation happen at your office? So the video isn't as damning as some of the folks reporting it said it was. And I don't know. I think it's just it was a little interesting to me. But, it leads into this type of a conversation happening and being videotaped leads into the narrative of giving the political powers the ability to say, okay, see, you're biased and we're going to send someone after you and go after you for antitrust or whatever. I think there's, three rules? What are the three rules you don't talk about at work? You don't talk about, obviously you don't talk about sex. You don't talk about politics. There was one other. What's the other one? There's one more. Right? Aren't those, there's three things that are like the golden rules you don't talk about at work. Yeah, you might talk about between two people at a water cooler. You may whisper back and forth, but there's not like this big policy discussion in the office. I just think it's this internal political discussions that are spilling into the public is definitely setting Google up for, to give those that are want to go after them more power and more, I don't understand where you're there providing a service. It should be non-political because you're serving a constituent of users that are both right, left, down, middle, the whole nine yards. So it's curious. It really, really is. So I just think the dynamic is, two assignments to you guys tonight. Did you guys have this big meeting in your office talking about the outcome of the election? And the other topic that I'm looking for input on. So, all right. Very, very cool. Let's move on. Let's talk about Apple just a little bit. Hey, the Apple Watch. Hi. Oh, I'm going to try to see if I can get my son or one of my kids to buy my Apple Watch 3. I'm really intrigued by the Apple Watch. I'm intrigued more about the Apple Watch 4 than I almost of the new iPhones. And yeah, I'm due a new iPhone. That's going to be a regular cycle thing. I've actually already told Barry, our finance guy, to make sure he gets me a iPhone Max ordered. And told him the memory size I wanted. But that's the only thing the company's going to buy for me. If I want to buy the Apple Watch 4, I have to buy it on myself. But this ability, I'm 54, been trying to get in shape, haven't been going to gym as much as I should, but still, I'm concerned about the ticker and, the cholesterol in my veins and my blood sugar and all that, right? So the simple fact that this watch now has the ability to do an EKG or ECG, I guess that's what they're calling it, excites me a lot. And the ability of this watch to detect if you have some sort of EFib, if your heart isn't dun, 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 if it's going dun, 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 dun. If it's doing something like that, obviously you would probably know it, but to be able to detect that is very significant. And also the functionality of, you guys remember the clapper, right? You fall down and you can clap your hands to get the clapper to call for help. Well, now the Apple Watch 4 will detect if you've had a fall. You can single if you need help via a swipe. And if you don't respond or move within a minute, it calls 911 for you and it notifies all your folks in your notification list. So to me, now I don't think I'm at the point where I have to worry about having the clapper, but I like this heart function a lot. Because when you're 54, you know, I'm in the zone. I'm in zone for the big one. You know, I don't want to have the big one. But if the watch can tell me, hey, dude, you know, something's up. Your heartbeat's slowing down or it's too fast. Like it gives me a notification now. And it's the weirdest thing. I'll be sitting here working and my phone's bzzz, and I'll look at my arm and I'll be like, your heartbeat's 120. Something's wrong. And I'll stand up and I'll go walk around. You know, maybe sit too long or been in the wrong position, come back and sit back down and everything goes back down to normal. And whereas my wife, she's got a slow heartbeat. And sometimes I get worried about her, low blood pressure and everything. And now it'll be able to give her a warning, say, hey, you need to kind of move around a little bit. So I'm excited about the Apple Watch 4. I really, really am. The phones are the phones. But one thing's for sure is that the iPhone has become a franchise. It is the gift that keeps giving to Apple. People keep buying them, selling them in the millions or billions, and it keeps the Apple machine primed, keeps that pump primed. I had to laugh because during the keynote in Slack, I sent my team a message and said, hey, Apple.com keynote starting. So we watched the keynotes. We watched the Google keynote. And we watched the Apple keynotes together. And it's even though the guys are in Columbus, Mike's in Grand Rapids, I mean, in Traverse City, and I'm here, and maybe someone's in Vegas or wherever someone's at, we watch them together and we're talking behind the channel. Of course, the Android users are all, you know, bashing the Apple, and the Apple guys are always bashing. You know, it's a back and forth type thing. We're having funny, but even I had to admit that this presentation of the new iPhone, it made me feel kind of like the cult of Mac is back. And it wasn't maybe cultish, but it was definitely a religion. And be honest with you, it kind of like, it made me kind of like, do I need to go take a shower? It was a little, you know, and the best and this and that. And yet, using this Android, using the Samsung Galaxy 8, I have a pretty good feel for what's going on in Android. And I'll be honest with you. One of my team members said, Android gives you control. And I'm like, okay, it does. What apps are you using? And I'm using Gmail. Oh, I'm using Gmail. I'm using a Facebook app. Well, yeah, I'm using a Facebook app. I'm using Snapchat. Well, I'm using Snapchat on both. It's the same. It's in my opinion, we've gotten to the point in having used both that it's just a myth now. It's like it was in the old days when we had, you think about the early days of this show. It was 90% PCs here, right? And now I'm 90% or maybe 80% Macs here. It's just a tool for me, and I used to be a semi Mac basher, right? And now I use both, and to me, it's just whatever gets the job done. but the least amount of headache at my age. I'm at that point. And yes, I've lost a little geek cred in not building my own machines and that kind of stuff. But you have to say one thing about the iPhone. They have definitely figured out a way to feed their machine. And I'm very excited about that iPhone XS Max 6.5 inch phone. Very, very excited about it. I guess we'll see. I'll give you my opinion when I get my hands on one in October. So time will tell on that. All right. All right. For those of you that have completely cut the cord. So Kirk just found this article today. I wasn't looking for it at all. I have had no request yet for anything like Hulu Live TV, YouTube TV, anything like that. I've had no internal request yet. Although my daughter did start a Hulu subscription she's paying for, which made my son very happy because he could watch America's Got Talent. That's his favorite show right now. That show's kind of lost its luster for me. But the article I found today was that they're suggesting pairings, because if you look at Hulu Live TV and YouTube TV, the channel lineup is just about the same, even though Hulu Live TV has a few more than YouTube Live TV does. But then there's this other service I'd never heard of called Philo, P-H-I-L-O. It actually has some of the TV channels that I actually like Animal Planet, AMC, the Cooking Channel, Discovery, DIY Network, some of those. I don't watch MTV per se or Nickelodeon, but there's a few things here. TLC, I like that network, where the other two offerings don't have. I like A&E. Hulu's got that, but YouTube TV doesn't. But I'm not willing to spend $40 just to get A&E, because I really don't need the sports. I don't need the news channels. I don't need Disney. I don't need ESPN. I don't need Fox. I don't need FS. I don't need the Golf Channel. I don't need MSNBC. I don't need National Geographic or anything like that, which is all covered underneath the Hulu and almost equivalent on YouTube Live. But this Philo at $16 kind of gets me the stuff that I like. Some of the channels that I like, but do I need it at this point? No. So here's the question for all of you. Are you going to, those of you that cut the cord, have you chosen a couple of small bundles? But I look at this $40 and $16, that's $56. And if I want to add HBO, I'm probably up to $66. So I'm only $40 or $50 away from what my cable bill was originally. So it really defeats the purpose, right? I really would just like to have some serious a la carte, but it's not possible. But are you mix and matching? And if you aren't, there's an article here for you to consider and how you might get some channels back that you're looking for. There's a Pew Research study out that talks about our teens and what they like. Here's the breakdown of how teenagers use social media. 85% are on YouTube, 72% use Instagram, 69% on Snapchat, 51% still use Facebook, 32% like Twitter, 9% post to Tumblr, and 7% are Reddit users. Pew notes that 95% of teenagers have a smartphone or access to one. This at least partially drives what social networks they gravitate towards. Almost half the teens, 45%, told Pew that they're online almost constantly. And the question is why teens are using certain social networks. And to better get an understanding of what forces are driving teens to these social platforms, there was a 16-year-old that was interviewed from Noblesville, Indiana. And I know where Noblesville is. Noblesville is not a big town. It is, it's relatively small. And this student was part of BAN. He practices Taekwondo. She's in her junior year and has a 3.9 GPA. And so the response was, when they asked her, why do you think so many teenagers are watching YouTube? And she says that everyone watches YouTube. It's like the new TV. Remember the hype when TV came out? How supposedly everyone was glued to it? YouTube is like that. There are videos for anyone. You need to contribute to the community by making your own videos. Kids today are aspiring to be the biggest YouTubers. Well, I think that's a dream. It's like becoming a pro basketball star. But on Instagram, they were asked, what kind of teenagers do you think use Instagram opposed to Snapchat? Instagram is used for being more creative and stuff. On Instagram, you find lots of artsy kids who like to express themselves more through photography and art. So it's an interesting question and answer goes back and forth here. I'll let you go through this. So it's interesting to see the dynamic. I know my son spends a huge amount of time on YouTube watching instructional videos. He's an aspiring creator video. He doesn't want to do audio. He likes the video stuff and he's aspiring to do that. So he's watching all these techniques. When I see something cool, I share it with him and he shares it with me. We go back and forth on messaging and it's usually I'm like looking to filter on this video and he's like, look at the transition on this or look at the effect. And we're like, how did they do that? And we look at drone video. And so, you know, him and I are kind of back and forth sharing videos. My daughter, on the other hand, who's 22, she's watching Korean dramas. Please, you know, really? That's what she's watching? So, and my 20-year-old, he's watching gaming videos. So it just runs the gambit. I can imagine, you know, when I was growing up, the TV, we had four channels. There was no options. I mean, you had to go outside. That was where TV was. But it is to get some perspective on, and I think we all know most of this already, but a good primer for maybe some older folks that are in your family that don't understand what's going on with teenagers these days. All right, U.S. Russia respond to space station leak. Now, I thought the space station leak was already kind of figured out, but there's some wild rumors running around that a NASA astronaut deliberately drilled a hole in a Russian spacecraft docked the International Space Station. So, I guess this is new. This isn't there was some tank that was venting. The leak, which was less than 1/10 of an inch wide, was detected on August 29th. It posted no immediate threat to the crew, and the Russian astronauts quickly patched it with tape. Now, they say that someone may have drilled it. Now, I'm going to show you guys this. If you get any time, and I have a little experience here. If you go to the page that I will have up in the show notes, it's a New York Times piece, you'll see the drill spot. And what it shows is something that is pretty remarkable. It shows that there was at least three different attempts to try to start to drill this hole, because you can see where the drill marks scurry across the aluminum. And then finally, the drill hole at a weird angle. It wasn't straight. So it is very suspicious of where this is. And to my point, if this happened on the International Space Station, wouldn't you hear drill running? And as deep as this is, you'd hear the ree. You would think you would hear it. And it just, to me, it's a little surprising. And it is suspicious. But what it really looks like is, to me, is it looks like a manufacturing mistake. It doesn't, to me, it really looks like that. But it is fresh. It is pretty fresh. So that is another issue. But anyway, lots of discussions, potential sabotage aboard the International Space Station. So we'll be watching this one, because I'm sure there's going to be more discussions about the Russians think the Americans did it. All right, how many apps you have on your phone? More than you really care to talk about? Well, do you know where to find free apps? I don't think I really go looking for free apps, but there's some sites out there like called Apps Gone Free or App Sales or The Daily Roundup. there's a whole bunch of sites that focus on talking about what's free, what's being given away. So sometimes an app is $9.99. They may have a special where there's a discount on it. So definitely, anyway, check that out. We'll have that up in the show notes. It's over on lifehacker.com. So places to find free apps. Verizon Internet boss Tim Armstrong is going to leave Oath. So he's leaving the company on October 1. So a little bit of a shuffle there. And he'll be, actually, it's going to be K. Guru Gowrappan is going to become the new CEO. So some changes over there. Verizon's also now taking signups for home 5G service. Costs $50 a month. And what this is after signing up for Verizon Home 5G, you'll get a modem router for your home that's able to pull in Verizon's 5G network to power all your devices. It works to replace your home Wi-Fi network. Speeds should average around 300 megabits per second, but Verizon notes they can reach a whopping 1 gig. You get 3 months of the services free. Following that, Verizon Wireless customers will pay $50 a month, while everyone else will pay $70. Does it say what the limitations are? So it's going to launch in Indianapolis, Houston, Los Angeles, and Sacramento. I'd really like to know what the bandwidth limits are on this. Or is it going to be just regular home internet? So Verizon 5G. Very, very cool. If it's truly $50 a month and you get 300 megs and there's no bandwidth caps, that is something to talk about. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on this. So if you're in one of these launch areas, again, available October 1, Indianapolis, Houston, LA, and Sacramento, please, 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 I want to hear from you if you go check this out and find out the more details. And I'll try to find it out as well. All right, there's some, do you do any investing? Well, if you're a beginner, the folks at MakeUseOf.com have some suggestions on some apps, 5 apps that you can use to watch your investments. Charles Schwab, I like how they make it very easy to open an investment account and be able to transfer money in. They even have a checking account that goes along with it that you can travel internationally with and not pay any international transaction fees. iHeart is planning to buy podcasting giant How Stuff Works. And apparently for $55 million, the U.S. radio broadcaster on Thursday said it has agreed to acquire Stuff Media, which includes How Stuff Works podcasting business and other premium podcasts. But the deal is supposed to be $55 million. So congratulations to folks over there for closing that deal. And that just gives you an indication here what's going on. But again, who listens to iHeart? It kind of to me is like, ugh, it's just like listening to the radio. Sprint Express stores to pop up in 80 new locations. And again, Walgreens in the news. Walgreens and Sprint are expanding their collaboration. So the company said Thursday that these 80 Sprint Express locations will be throughout Chicago and Dallas-Fort Worth. The addition are expected to open at the end of the year. And the Sprint Express stores offer wireless services and expertise at Walgreens, including advice on mobile services and products. Very interesting move. So anyway, you Sprint user? Are you having a problem connecting your Android phone to your car audio system? It seems pretty easy, but then again, maybe you have to use a wire. So they got some suggestions here for you Android users on how to do that. I think most of us probably got a pretty good handle on that. We'll spend no more time than I need to. Also, Twitter is putting live streams at the top of your feed. I'm trying to figure out how to go live on Twitter with this system. Haven't broke the code on that yet. Was working on it tonight for a little bit. At some point, I'm going to figure out, and I think I know the way to get there. I need some third-party tools to do it. But I think I'm going to be able to get this show on Twitter Live. Got some experimenting to do, but I think I can route a video source actually into a mobile phone to make it happen, which is not using the camera, but sending an NDI signal to the phone and mimic a camera. So might be a way to cheat to get on to Twitter with the TriCaster instead of having to set the phone up and do it that way. How many of you got a credit card lately with your face on it? I know a lot of credit card companies are doing that, but how about your whole face on the whole card? Well, apparently Wells Fargo is doing that. And some guy got a surprise when he got it. And they took a picture of it, put it online, and people went crazy. I guess, you know, if someone's going to steal your card, they're not going to use the actual card. They're just going to, usually they don't. They make a dupe and they use that instead of using your actual card. So, you know, how often do you actually lose a card? And, you know, that is, it brings up a funny point. I walked into a place yesterday and the lady goes, "Hey, Todd, when you were here last time," it was a restaurant, "you left your credit card." And I'm like, I'm looking at her like, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, I've got it in the back." And I'm like, so just before my trip to Texas, I had lost a credit card. I thought I lost it here in the house. I searched high and low. Normally I have, if it's lost, it's lost right here, because I've maybe done something online. And I called and basically reported it lost, not stolen. No, nothing had got charged to it. And she brought it out and gave it to me. And I'm just like, "You've got to be kidding me." And I said, you got a scissor back there? And she said, "Yeah." And I cut it up into pieces and she threw it in the trash for me. But I've never left a credit card at a restaurant, but I've done it twice in under 2 weeks. Talk about being absent-minded. I need to cut a hole in my credit cards and put one of those like gambling straps to it. I'm thinking about this. I'm like, you are thinking about other things too much and not about what's important. I said, "Well, you could have went on a shopping spree." She goes, "Well, I didn't feel like going to jail." I'm like, well, thank you for not spending money on the card. But it had been, you know, she had it 3 or 4 days before I realized it was missing. But anyway, this bank was putting a person's face right on the card. I guess that's one way to have an identification. How many of you thinking about building your own PC? Well, the folks over at The Verge have an amazing machine build. If you want to build a custom PC for gaming or editing or coding, they've got a pretty incredible build out and all the parts. So they lay out everything that you need to buy. It's about $1,900 worth of parts, but you're going to end up with an absolutely gorgeous machine. Windows, of course. So if you're looking to build one, probably cheaper to build it than to buy it. Anyway, they've got a great custom build for you. Link will be up in the show notes. Definitely check that out. Also, Kano. Kano has a latest do-it-yourself computer kit. Includes a touchscreen. We covered them at CES. So this is pretty cool. This is available now. It's unveiled this Thursday. It was a new kit, $279, and includes everything you need to build a touchscreen computer designed for kids age 6 and up. It includes a 10.1-inch HD touchscreen, wireless keyboard, motherboard, and all the other components you need to build a do-it-yourself computer. And I think this is really awesome. I really do. This is great. A great kit, and it uses a Raspberry Pi P3 and all the instructions a kid needs to build his own computer and software in it to code it as well. So it's not like you're building a Windows machine here, nothing like that, but a great way for a kid to learn some programming and very, very simple. So I'm definitely excited about this kit. And if you guys bought any of the Kano stuff at all for your grandkids or for your own kids, love to hear from you if you have. All right, Charter's negotiating with New York City to avoid being kicked out of the state. They've been given a couple extensions, and they are negotiating before they go to court. So we'll see where this leads for Charter. Google is shutting down Gmail offline. via the Chrome app this December. So Inbox is the only email client that Google will be discontinuing in the near future. The company has confirmed that it's also going to shut down the Gmail offline app from Chrome OS. This app will go away sooner than Inbox, which is scheduled to sunset in March of 2019. The Gmail offline Chrome app is going to be discontinued in December. All right. So if anybody used that, be aware. Also, very, very cool little drone. It's an insect-inspired robot. It can fly up to a kilometer on a charge with its flappy wings. And to see this fly, it's really, really cool. It tries to mimic the common house or fruit fly. And it can do some incredible aerobatics. Very, very cool stuff here. So if nothing else, just watch the video of this thing. I don't know what the overall function of it is, what they're going to, I guess it's, they made it because they could, but this came out of Delft University of Technology. They're the ones that designed it, but, it can fly at 7 meters per second or about 15 miles per hour. It hovers in place, performs all kinds of extreme motions like dives and rolls. And, it's no joke doing that using rotors and continuous thrust. So it's very, very, very cool. But again, it looks like a fly flying around. Obviously a lot bigger, but same type of motions. Matter of fact, I can, for those of you watching the video, you might be able to see the little GIF running here in what it looks like. So pretty awesome stuff. Equifax, my most favorite company in the world, not. 2 years before Equifax stunned the world with its announcement that it had been hacked, the credit reporting company believed it was a victim of another theft, only this time at the hands of Chinese spies. In a previous undisclosed incident, security officials feared that former employees had removed thousands of pages of proprietary information before leaving and heading to jobs in China. Material included code for planned new products, human resources, files, and manuals. The rest of the story is behind a Wall Street Journal paywall, but oh my goodness. So not with this company. Why are they still in a business? Why are they still in business? Why are they still allowed to operate? Vertical ads are coming back to YouTube because people keep shooting videos vertically instead of horizontally. So be looking forward to that when you're watching YouTube videos. Facebook is in the news talking about trying to fight fake news by fact-checking photos and videos. I don't know how they can keep up because I'm seeing stuff now that makes me go, sometime. And I think they're facing an uphill battle here. But they're vowed to get it under control. Time will tell. Let's see here. What was the... Oh, this is another Apple announcement. And one thing we did miss, there was no discussions about AirPods. There was no discussion about Mac Minis. So I guess we'll wait and see what happens with if those are announced later on. It was definitely a mobile event for sure. Jeff Bezos' family has launched a $2 billion... philanthropy fund. My God. The day one fund will help homeless families and build preschools. All right. So richest person on the planet has finally committed some money. His wife Mackenzie is going to build a network of new nonprofit tier one preschools in low income communities and fund existing nonprofits that help homeless families. So good for him. But yet he's the same guy that continues to underpay Amazon employees. All right, two VPNs are popping up like flies. I've been using the Nord VPN. I've been very, very happy with it. And I'm using a VPN more than ever anymore. Surfshark VPN, $79, supposedly a three-year license using that VPN. Again, I don't have any reviews on it except for what Android Central says. And also Goose VPN, which is lifetime for $40, or I guess lifetime until they run out of money. But a lifetime subscription, $39.99. Oh, what? Lifetime is... If you the special promo code to get a lifetime subscription. Otherwise, 1, 3, or 5 year plan from $8.99 for, I guess you have to use this coupon code to get a lifetime subscription for $39.99. Huh. All right. Link will be up in the show notes for that. It's from PC World. Again, I'm not familiar with Goose VPN at all. Final couple of articles. There's a new connected door lock. It's called Array by Hampton. It's $2.99. It works with the Amazon Alexa device to lock or check lock status via voice commands. I'm still a little bit leery about these smart locks. I really am. I do not use one on my house, for the record. And I think that's it. Oh, Facebook, for devs out there, Facebook has a new SatFix AI that automatically debugs the code. And I don't know if they're going to make this available to other people, but it looks pretty cool in being able to suggest bug fixes. So here we go. Software that's getting a lot smarter. All right, let me go to comments. I don't think there was any email that came in. Let me see if there was. Oh, I think there was. Maybe I missed this. Jeff said, or Greg said, Todd, I hadn't heard about Tableau, but I already have a Plex lifetime subscription with a silicon dust tuner. Seems to be about the same features. All right. I think that was it. All right. We're doing okay on time. I want to thank everybody for being here. I'm trying to enhance the format of the show just a little bit. Trying to spend a little more time at the beginning of the show talking about big items and spending more time on those big items and then going through the rest of the show. Hoping that you're liking the way I'm trying to format the show a little bit to get a little deeper in the beginning and then lighten up and bust through. So I can't guarantee I'm always going to have something that deep to talk about at the beginning of the podcast. But that's a little bit of the format I'm trying to, and I've been doing this for a while, but I'm trying to enhance it a little bit. I hope you'll consider becoming an insider. The insiders are very, very important to the longevity of this show. At your $2, $5, $10, $15, or $25 or single year donation is absolutely fantastic. GeekandCentral.com/insider. I definitely appreciate all your guys' ongoing support of the show and your continued subscription to the podcast. I see the stats numbers. We're holding steady. Not gaining a lot of new people. We got to work on that a little bit. But definitely tell your friends about the show as well. Give me some feedback. How am I doing for you? Are you happy with the way the show is? Do I need to really shake it up? Or are you happy with the way the content is being presented? It's my pleasure to bring you the show as always. GeekNews@gmail.com is the email address. I'm on Twitter @GeekNews. Definitely come over to GeekNewsCentral.com. Give a perusal of the articles. We're trying a different strategy this month at Geek News Central on the blogging. So if you can see what the strategy is, I'd love to hear if you figured it out. But there is a little bit different strategy right now. I've employed the writing team to do. So we're doing some things on the face of the GNC site as well. But again, my pleasure bringing the show. Everyone take care. We'll see you back here on Monday for another edition of the Geek and Central podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.